Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong, man.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, man, into the final hour of the program. As we said, another week going by, man, as spring is here in Atlanta. And I'm going to declare, as I am obviously president of the local tanning union, okay, that tanning season begins on Sunday. It looks like 72 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Mm-hmm. We may get over 70 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And then what's going to happen after that, Mike?
I was going to get back in the 50s. But for 2 days, remember, guys, especially for you guys that are out of shape and all of us are trying to lose some weight for the spring, but it's an endless battle, fat tan equals muscle. Okay, if you're fat and you got a tan, you look better if you were just, you know, fat and like white and just like totally like, you know, pale. A tan makes you look healthy.
Ah, okay.
Telling you, man. Look at you and Randy. I said it yesterday. Randy's lost like over 40 pounds. Unbelievable.
I lost 29.
Randy's lost 52 pounds. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And it feels good, Mike.
You look good. I'm not trying to sound weird.
I just have one of those persons. If I get into something, this is the most consistent I've been working out since I retired. Mm-hmm. Eating good. My wife, she comes to me, she's like, so how much longer are we going to eat like this? I'm like, babe, I'm in that zone right now, you know, and I feel like, I said, they had the food trucks downstairs, and our guy Money Mike comes up with a curry jerk
ooh,
Philly cheesesteak.
I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, can I please have some? But I'm like, no. And Squid reminded me. So I went down, I got me a Philly cheesesteak, but I only got the meat. Right.
Yeah, that's
no
hard
bread
to do.
That. No bread or nothing.
A good cheesesteak. You want to have that cheese whiz, cheese all gobbled
it
up.
It cost me $11.
Now, food trucks are a ripoff.
$11? Like, oh.
Some food trucks are better values than others. For the most part, though, it's more of a hustle.
I was like, man, I'm not getting no bread. It's $11?
Next time you want to do that, I'll give you a steak and I'll kick you in the nuts and we'll call it even. Give me $11. Hey, man, got a story I didn't have time to squeeze into Mike's in case you missed it, but thanks to a listener, Kevin Daniel, who sent this to us, and it's from his hometown, and this apparently happened back on the 20th, what's today's date? Actually, I think it happened yesterday, or within the last 48 hours. Calvin Ridley spends time in Chattooga County, is what the article says. And in a nutshell, it says, player for the Falcons, it's a small-town paper, Monday night, his car caught fire on Highway 48 near the J.P. Smith Lumber Company, by the way, Randy.
Uh-huh.
Calvin Ridley, 24, first-round NFL draft pick for the Falcons, was traveling through the country, or through the county, I should say, on his way to his girlfriend's house in Huntsville, Alabama. According to Lou Allen's Wrecker Service, they are in-depth on this. Well, Tim Lou Allen said he's a super nice guy. He's a real good young man. That's from the Wrecker Service.
He's having some rough time with cars.
He had he left the keys in it over at the BP in Buckhead,
and they got
someone
him.
Jacked it. And it happens. But again, don't.
It happened to me.
Don't. You both should not leave your keys in your car.
It happened to me.
But that was the earlier. That was what, last year, before the 18 turned into 19. But this story, apparently, Ridley's gray 2018 Dodge Challenger started smoking around 8:44. He was heading to west on Highway 48. Noticed something in the trunk caught fire. I'll cut to the chase here. The Wrecker Service says it might have been caused, talking to the fire department, by wiring in the trunk, possibly from a stereo speaker.
Where did he get his system put at? Shanks Auto Parts over there at Bankhead behind the Checkers.
The guy working under a tree.
You know what I'm saying? Oh my God.
Guy working under a tree put that thing in.
Come on, man.
Either way, bad luck with Calvin. Maybe she just Ubered. That's a long Uber ride, though. But the Dodge wasn't just your. I just love the report from the Wrecker guy. The Dodge wasn't just your regular off the shelf type. It'd been dolled up a bit. That's from the guy from Lou Allen's Wrecker Service.
Yeah, you need to leave your cars alone, man. Leave your cars alone.
I'll tell you what, that speaker was smoking pretty good.
Like,
big old subwoofer on there.
I didn't even realize people still put systems in their car. I thought that was like so 04.
He treated me like a normal person. He seemed like a real good guy.
He did not say that. He treated me like a normal person.
Yes, he did.
What the hell else is he supposed to treat you like?
Well, I guess he thought he's a professional athlete. He might treat him like a knucklehead. The driver said nothing but great things about Calvin. And this is from Lou Allen's Wrecker Service. So he's getting high marks over there in Chattooga County. So, I mean, it's a good bet. The bad news is the car's jacked up again.
But the good news is he's safe.
Calvin was cool and everything was good.
He's good. He's safe, and he's got the respect of a wrecker.
Right. Yes. So I would recommend if I was Calvin talking to whoever does Julio's audio system in his car, that might be the guy you want to go with, right? And now the big story is the big three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
Now, I mean, I'll let you do it. I know you get self-conscious sometimes. So we're going to replay it. We use it all the time. But did you want to introduce the top three?
No, I just like that part. Three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
NCAA continues. More upsets. Virginia looked bad, but they were able to rally. They held off Gardner-Webb to win 71-56. Buffalo, Billy, I guess it is... What was it? 76-55 in that one. Arizona State knocked off St. John's, by the way, to get in the play-in game, only to lose to Buffalo. You had Tennessee taking out Colgate. Tennessee had a lead, lost it, got it back. So Bruce Pearl, maybe at some point, would you love to see Bruce Pearl and Auburn getting hooked up with Tennessee at some point?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a payback. Rick Barnes got to have some payback. I mean, down the road, way down the road on that one. That's we're talking a lot of guys got to win a lot of games. Oklahoma, not monkeying around with Ole Miss, 95-72. Kansas State, biggest upset of the day. UC Irvine, they take him out 70-64. And a mild upset, number 10, Iowa over Cincinnati. That's a 10 over a 7. As we mentioned, guys, we've got more big games, including the hometown team, the best basketball team in Georgia. And that, of course, would be Ron Hunter's Georgia State Panthers. Here's Ron saying, look, they get it. They know it's a tough track when you got a 14 taken out of 3. But he's maybe real disappointed to come this far.
If I don't believe it, how are my kids going to believe it? I will be extremely, extremely disappointed if we don't win this game. You know, when you're a mid-major, it's not automatic you're going to get there. We beat Georgia. We beat Alabama. We beat some good teams on the way. Our guys, we're on a mission that we want to win this game.
Win or lose, should Alabama call Ron Hunter?
I'm sure they will. But here's the thing, Mike. You said this. It would be interesting to see how he would get or how he would be able to coach and implement his philosophy at a school where it has a bigger – maybe recruiting budget, but
right.
From what you hear from him, it just seems like Georgia State is his home, man, and he loves it there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's gonna have to be an A1 job to get him out of Atlanta. I don't know if Alabama is enticing enough for him to leave his job for, even though it's in a better conference and probably a bigger budget. I don't know.
You know, the Alabama job, and we looked this up earlier, we were talking about it. Mark Gottfried really had it cooking. They had a bunch of trips. They went deep in the tournament a couple of times, consistent run before he left. But you can win at Alabama. You know, Bruce Pearl's showing you could even win at Auburn. So the right guy, and, you know, Squid Billy has some problems with what's going on with Avery Johnson. I mean, they did get in there with Colin Sexton. For whatever reason, they're moving on. But Ron Hunter's a dynamic guy. Give him a bigger budget. Give him more resources to recruit, you know, and a bigger – and by the way, put a guy like that on TV more. Right, Randy? That'll also help the brand.
Yeah, of course that'll help the brand, Mike. I mean, you know, that's one of the a selling point that you do during recruiting. We're on TV this many times because you know the kids want to be on TV. I cannot remember that coach's name. I'm trying to look it up. That was at VCU that went to Alabama before. Not Shaka. Okay. Not Shaka who went to Texas. It was before Shaka. And I'm trying to find his name right now. But when you look at how this, you know, being a basketball coach at a predominantly great football school, mm-hmm. I mean, that pressure, you don't think it should be there? Well, for some reason, it was high on Avery a lot because he was Avery Johnson.
Anthony Grant was
thank
the
you,
coach
guys.
At BCU
thank you,
after Shaka.
Thank you very much,
right.
Anthony Grant.
Good call, man. So, yeah, in the case of Alabama, I would say, look, here's a guy who's pulling talent, getting kids to come to Atlanta. Why not at least kick the tires on a guy like Ron? And, again, not trying to tick off Georgia State fans. Big party tonight. Viewing party over at 6 Feet Under. That's at 7 o'clock down at Memorial. A lot of guys from 92.9. Promo team will be there with some Hawks tickets to give away as well. Story number two, we're going to hear from Dave O'Brien. He's on the way. If you missed the conversation earlier, we try to get our heads around what it's going to look like. It'll be all hands on deck with the young guys in the starting rotation. But Dave O'Brien, about an hour and a half ago, tweeted, from what he's hearing, the Braves and Craig Kimbrell, it's still on the table. He says it's between Milwaukee and Atlanta, barring a late entry. Imagine if we could get Craig Kimbrell in here now. There was talk about you wanted a 5-year deal, which is insane at this stage of his career. But wouldn't that be something? If you get Kimbrell, Viz Caiano is the setup man. Mentor moves up to that guy in the seventh. And now you're feeling a hell of a lot better.
You got something, especially with these young pitchers. You got something right there. Talking today, what surprised me the most is how many young guys he said that he thinks should be in the starting rotation already. Because I said it yesterday, Mike, you remember coming into spring training, it was about who was going to be that fifth starter between the young guys. You had these guys vying for one spot. And I kept saying, why are they supposed to be these hot shot prospects, but they're only vying for the fifth spot? No, they should be trying to aim for higher. And now you see Newcomb. I mean, he's struggling, Mike. I mean, he just walks everybody.
Well, I mean, I don't trust him. You'll hear how much Dave doesn't trust him in the conversation, to Randy's point, coming up. Story number three, we could have made it number one, but we want to give some love to Ron Hunter, and that is Julio Jones, a Bleacher Report saying that the numbers could be now 4 or 5 years. We think 4 years, but a Julio deal would pay him around $20 million a season, and that it could be anywhere from $50 to $60 million in new guaranteed money Julio would pocket.
Get that money, Julio. Get that money, man. Get that money. We knew it was coming. Not surprised by this, but again, all NFL contracts, the year per average or whatever, is the most overrated part about the contract. What's guaranteed over the first 3 years, and ultimately what's fully guaranteed? That's all that matters.
Hey, he'll have to move some money up the way Matt did eventually.
Maybe, you know, maybe as soon as next year. He might not have to, Mike.
What was the salary cap to go up to $200 million?
It might. Mike, stop worrying about it. See, that's what I'm saying. You keep on worrying about for down the road. What we worried about around here now is this year.
Because I get it.
After this year, if it don't go right, all this don't matter. Everything's going to be starting all the way over again.
I'm with you. Now, Thomas will still be here. Dimitroff will never leave. But Dan would be maybe, again, out the door because he's put himself in the firing line. When you move on from all your assistant coaches, when you have the kind of turnover he's had, when you make the proclamations about Vic and getting more out of him and then committing to that $12.8 million, you've got to get this thing going this year. Do you? And what do you think the mandate from Arthur is? How deep in the playoffs would you have to go?
I can't tell you.
I mean,
you.
I know it's abstract.
I can't tell you because Mr. Blank, he's very loyal. That's one thing we know. But he wants to win. And if Dan comes back with a non-playoff, I think he's gone.
Right.
Now, if he can get away to the second round, I think this team is Super Bowl capable. That's just me. I think they're one of the most talented rosters that has holes like everybody else in the league. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody else has holes in the league. Only team that really kind of overcomes those is New England. Other than that, everybody has some kind of flaws. And that's why I believe this team could still be Super Bowl or bust.
So the offensive line beefing up, giving more time for Matt. One thing for certain, $160 million guaranteed potentially in the making sure we get those balls in the hands of 11 in the end zone.
Why are you so worried about that?
It's just doing the math.
I mean, but what is that? What relevant does that have?
It's a fact.
It's a fact, but why is that in the conversation? Why are you always in this man's pocket,
hey,
right?
Hey, player advocate, I'm
why
just telling you.
Why are you always in that man's pocket?
Because if equals up to $160 million for two guys, you might as well have a good offensive line. Otherwise, it makes no sense. You could argue you're fundamentally flawed because you're so top-heavy in the cap.
Again, don't get mad at Julio. Don't get mad at Matt. That ain't their fault.
I'm not. I take the money all day.
I'm just telling you,
if you can't draft offensive line and you have to keep splattering free agents on there like Spackle, you know, that becomes a problem.
Like Spackle.
Moving ahead, you better hope you can find some guys that can keep salaries down, having salary control the way you did for a number of years now.
Exactly, but now it's time to pay those guys. It's time to pay those guys now.
Again, what's that? Was it the transmission? You can pay me now or you can pay me later. There's only so much you can keep moving the money around. The dead cap hits are going to get insane for this team.
Without a doubt.
Hey.
But, hey, it is. Hey, they knew what they were doing because this is what happens when you're in a point where your window, is, as you like to claim, is right there right now. The Falcons are in that window. The Saints are on the other side of that window. That's why Drew Brees is going to cost you 41 next year because they had to get more guys around them.
Good point, man. And that's why, you know, the Saints are so important for them to get to the Super Bowl the last 2 years, the way things went down. They didn't. Hey, man, one other NFL nugget for you. The competition committee. Rich McKay said there's no traction for a sky judge, if you will. We talked about this with Mike Pereira during the Super Bowl week, the former head of NFL officiating, now works for Fox. And the idea being you'd have a guy that would be watching the monitor just like you're watching at home, and if something gets screwed up, he immediately would buzz down to the ref and say, hey, you screwed that up, let's get that right.
But I'm saying, if it's not a penalty, or is it just on any play?
Well, they didn't really specify it. I would just like to see pass interference, have a nice, long, hard look at it from
it's
the officials.
It's so judgmental, though. Unless it's a blatant pass interference, it's so judgmental. But the for my read about that was, yeah, he's going to be looking at it on TV. And if y'all don't see a penalty, he gonna buzz down. Like, really? Who wants that?
Well, the other thing is, it's about the pace of play. This goes back to what they're trying to do with baseball. Everything wants to be around a 3-hour window, right? The idea that if you had an obvious replay that you know you don't have to go to the replay tent, that official could look at it and get down to the judge immediately. That's out of bounds. 2 feet, we're not in. Boom. And just and speed up the process.
And how is that going to look overriding the head official all the time?
Well, that's something that they don't want to do, and they're not going to do. Right. But it's something, if you're at home and you can see it on the couch, why can't they do the same thing in the stadium? That's what people are saying. That's just trying to speed up the process, if nothing else. And Bob Kraft, he's still not going to take a deal with the prosecutors. Sheriff down there in Florida says, you know, that video will be released eventually.
Why is it that we are so obsessed with watching this video if we think what they said is on this video? Why do we want to see that?
I don't want to see it,
yeah, okay.
But there's some people that are into that sort of thing.
I mean, why do I want leave that alone.
What kind of sick, demented individual would want to see Bob Kraft in that video?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, Mike. I want to see the video.
Him. Hey, guys, we'll come back. We got some Dave O'Brien. He talked about the rotation, talked about what the rookies are going to have to do, and there's one guy that Dave says needs to get his head right. Braves fans, check it out next. Well, we've been talking a lot about the Braves and what are we going to do with the rotation. Randy says, look, you've accumulated all this pitching over 5 years. Let's see what these young guys can do. Let's get it on. The best baseball man in town, Dave O'Brien from The Athletic. Also, great takes on music and rock and roll, too. Good guy. He joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, Dave, what is the starting rotation going to look like, brother?
I guess we're going to find out tomorrow, but I said something today. I tweeted something today that, if it were up to me, I'd have three of those young guys in the rotation. I would send Newcomb to Triple-A and start the year with three of those guys in a rotation along with Julio Teheran and Gausman if he's ready now or in a week. But I would go three of those guys. I mean, they've been so good this spring that I don't think Newcomb deserves to be in there over any of them. But, and then put the fourth of them in the pen. I'm talking about Freed, who definitely will be in a rotation. And then Toussaint and Kyle Wright, who's been outstanding until he got knocked around a little bit yesterday in the first inning. That's right. His first bad start, but he's been terrific. And Bryce Wilson. And Bryce Wilson has the kind of stuff that I could see him pitching in the pen and doing really well. And Freed, same way with the curveball, you could use him, but I think that would be a waste to use him as a long guy. I would have him in the rotation for sure, and I think he will be.
Dave.
I don't know. I think I would not shock me if the Braves do something bold like that. It really wouldn't. They're going to have at least two of those guys in there, you know, with Newcomb, obviously, if he's on the team, if he's up. But I haven't heard anything, but it just wouldn't surprise me with Newcomb walking 15 guys this spring, including 12 in his last 12 innings, that it wouldn't shock me if they went with three of those guys in the rotation to start out with, along with you know, Teheran starting opening day.
Dave, would this have would you be feeling the same way if Folty did get hurt? We saw a little bit more of him, and if Gosman wasn't shaking up, because coming into the year it was all about who's going to be the fifth starter for the Braves. But now with Folty out and Gosman a little banged up, do you think you know they might get up and keep these guys up in the bigs?
Well, I think Freed, you know. If he pitches the way he can, I think he'll stay in the rotation, mm-hmm. period. He's not going to be one of the rotating guys. And when you have Gausman and Folty with Julio, that's three of the guys. And like I said, if they were to start Newcomb in the minors until Newcomb's ready and shows the strikes, and I mean, what's the worst that can happen by sending Newcomb down? I don't see any reason why you can't. It's not like you're sending, you know, a five-year veteran down who's accomplished so much. I mean, right. He's just not throwing strikes. So, but I think one way or the other, you're going to see all of those guys pitch plenty in the rotation this year. I think Freed's going to stay in it regardless, and I think Kyle Wright will be in it somehow, one way or the other. I think he'll spend, you know, he'll get at least 15, 20 starts this year. I just think, you know, when guys get hurt, banged up, whatever, that you'll see him in there. So it's just it can go a lot of ways, and I think they're going to rotate guys in because all those guys have options. So, and they will, like they did last year, keep rotating them in to be the fifth starter and or the sixth starter. When they want to give other guys a little bit more rest, they'll go with six starters, and that can also be a way to monitor their innings because there's several of those guys, they won't let them go more than 150, 140 this year because, that you know, what they've done last year. Right. They're not going to take a huge leap up to 200 innings, most of them. So, I think all of those guys have shown they're ready, and they throw strikes, and that is a big thing because last year the walks killed these guys, especially we saw in the division series. I mean, when they set a record, it was like 27 in four games. So throwing strikes is a priority, and that's what those young guys have done this spring, and they've been really good at avoiding walks and they've all got great stuff. It's not like any of them are, you know, are doing well this spring because they're facing minor leaguers and throwing 88 to 90 mile an hour fastballs. These guys are all really good stuff. So we're finally seeing that, you know, the guys we've talked about for 3 or 4 years, we're finally seeing them here instead of just knocking at the door. And I think you got to be bold. It's, you know, it's not like you have 3 or 4 veteran starting pitchers that all deserve to be in the starting rotation.
Right.
And if these guys are ready, there's no reason to keep putzing around and having, you know, Newcomb go out there and walk 5 guys and, you know, leave after 3 innings. So, and have him send him to AAA, either light a fire under him or let him work on what he needs to work on to get, can prove the command. But I mean, that's what I would do, but I'm not making the decision, so I don't know if it'll be that bold or not.
Dave O'Brien's with us here, guys, from The Athletic. I'm with you. You know, Newcomb got real flaky ever since that whole Twitter escapade when they went through his stuff as a young man.
Right.
And, and then, I mean, look, if you can't throw strikes, it was nothing was more exasperating. Yeah. Dave just pointed it out. But is the fragile, again, we were just talking about Gen X or millennials, whatever, is the
whatever
fragile,
they're, whatever they're called,
the fragile psyche going to get jacked up if he's got to start with the stripers?
Hey, you know, he wouldn't be the first guy that spent a year and a half to 2 years in the big leagues and then got sent down for a while, you know. And I'm not saying it's going to be all season. It probably wouldn't even be one a few weeks. But let these young guys start out, see what they can do. Maybe they go out and off, and 3 of them are all pitching like lights out. And then there's an urgency maybe with Nuke that that maybe he comes in and focuses every pitch knowing I need to avoid walks. I mean, the walks just killed them last year. And it gets guys on there. It has such a trickle-down effect. You know, your defense is all standing around. You know, it gets everybody in a pissy mood. And, you know, when you got guys throwing strikes, everybody's on their toes and playing. And everybody's focused and locked in. And, you know, it's just throwing strikes is a good thing.
Dave, when you look at the infield for the Braves, everything, it seems like if Josh Donaldson, if he can stay healthy and everything, we know how great a defensive third baseman he is. The catcher position, and this will be, you know, Suzuki is gone, and when you look at Tyler Flowers, he's never really caught more or appeared in more than what 80-some games since he's been with the Braves. How do you think that Schnick will split the reps at catcher between him and McCann?
I think McCann will end up getting more.
Really?
More starts, as long as he's healthy. And right now, he says he feels great. So he's felt best he's felt in years, and he looks good. I mean, he's hitting the ball. I mean, look at their career records. Brian McCann is a 7-time former All-Star. I know he's 35, but if he's not hurt, he can get out there and play. I mean, he's great behind the dish at calling a game and guiding these young pitchers. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better guy. And Flowers is real good at that, too. But, you know, and Flowers obviously is great at framing pitches. But Mac looks really good right now. He's moving well. So, you know, I don't think it'll be, you know, the conventional 120 games to 130 for a starter and, you know, 30 to 40 for the backup. Not at all. I'm just saying rather than being, you know, 81-81 split or close to that, maybe it's more like 100 to 60, something like that. But that remains to be seen. It could go the other way if Mac is dinged up at all. But I just I have a feeling if he's hitting, you know, they're going to want him in there, you know, 100 games or something like that. So we'll see. But you know, the only real question, I mean, it's a big question, obviously, it's a bullpen, and how these rotation, how it's going to shake out. But the defense, and especially the lineup, as long as Donaldson's healthy, which he is right now, these guys are going to be good. They're going to be better than people think. Everybody's poo-pooing them because, you know, the couple of division teams made such dramatic moves. And the division's going to be tough, no doubt. But I don't think the offense is going to be a problem at all, and the defense is going to be rock solid, just like it was last year.
Right.
They had a really good defense, and that's so that'll help these pitchers too, these young guys.
It is a
Dave. I mean, the bullpen is questionable for sure.
That's no. Hey, look, we didn't invest in it in the offseason. That's the thing. We know the Gio Gonzalez thing, that was never going to happen. But Dave O'Brien's with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Go to his Twitter page. You can see the lineup, and this is the lineup that's going to be again. If Ender can do what he did in the second half of the season, get back on track. Inciarte, Donaldson, Freeman, Acuna. We're doing a lot of talking this week, Dave, about Acuna. I know the new metrics of baseball. Do you want him to get more at bats, or is it old school best man bats cleanup, and that's where you want him?
Well, I would not take him out of the leadoff spot just because he was historically good in the second half.
Yes.
We're talking Ricky Henderson type leading off, you know. I mean, it was ridiculous what he did. So I would have kept him in that just because I wouldn't be brave enough to move him out of that spot. Because if by chance, you know, Ender gets off to his usual slow start and Acuna doesn't doesn't hit as well in that cleanup spot as he did the leadoff, you know everybody's going to say, well, why did you move him out of leadoff? So, but, you know, they like Acuña to be there and be, you know, they put, if they can't pitch around Freddie and Donaldson with Acuña waiting their cleanup. So I can see both sides of that. I don't think you could go wrong. Obviously, Acuña can hit anywhere in the lineup and he's going to be terrific. So, but, Ender has just traditionally not gotten off to a good start. And, you know, that would really be beneficial if he could kind of buck that trend this year, because you got those next three guys coming up, and if Ender can get on base, it could really change everything. So, but I'd keep him, to answer your question, I would have kept him at leadoff until it didn't work, until there was a reason to move him from leadoff.
Dave, you're talking about Josh Donaldson, and last year they got 19 and 70-something from Camargo. Do you anticipate his numbers being better than that? And if they're not, would you look at that as not a successful signing for the Braves offseason?
I think Camargo is going to get to play a lot, right, like Marwin Gonzalez, cool, that type. Right. I think he'll get to play almost as much, not quite as much, but almost as much as a super utility guy, because – I mean, let's face it, there's not much chance that, you know, Josh Donaldson's going to play 150 games.
Right.
He's probably going to have some dinged up here and there, and need, you know, 5 days off here or a 10-day DL stint there. And if so, you've got the guy you can stick in there. Same thing with Dansby. You know, if he has any problems at all, mm-hmm, with the wrist, or, you know, Ozzie needs some, you know, struggling from one side or the other, Camargo can play all three of those positions and play them really well above average defensively. And you can also play him in the outfield or at first base. So I think Camargo ends up getting 400 to 500 at-bats.
Nice.
And if he does, then, you know, it's not much different than him starting.
Right.
And so as long as Josh Donaldson stays healthy, it was a great sign. If he doesn't, guess why you only signed it for 1 year.
You know? Right on, 23 mil. Hey, Dave, we got about like 10 seconds left, so I'll just get real quick, rapid fire. Austin Riley, if you break camp, or are you going to go with Adam Duvall?
Austin won't break camp.
Just because
he needs to play. He needs to play, not right, sit on the bench.
That sucks. All right, Dave. Have a great trip.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
We'll see you back here.
But they could always get somebody between now and opening day to take and release Duvall. Another,
okay.
They can get another guy to want to.
Gotcha. Hey, man, we always appreciate the insight. It's great to follow you on Twitter, and we always appreciate you coming on. Have a great weekend, brother.
All right.
That's our man, Dave O'Brien, and right after he got done with our conversation, he tweeted about an hour and a half, almost 2 hours ago, saying the Braves, if you missed it earlier, guys, mentioned the Braves are still, in Dave's opinion, according to people he's talking to, in the mix for Craig Kimbrel, coming down to the Brewers and maybe the Bravos, which, again, boy, oh boy, that would give me a warm and fuzzy. I'd stop arguing about the whole Gio Gonzalez thing, because now I got three innings covered.
You get that guy.
I just need you guys to give me six innings, and I get the rest.
You get that guy, then you're going to be all right, but It's one thing to have that kind of pitch in your back end. What are you going to get in the front? Because how can you get to him? Because that was one of the big things when he was here and how dominant he was. Mm-hmm. The Braves weren't giving him enough save opportunities.
Right.
Can they get to a point where they can give him some save opportunities?
Now, look, he looked a little raggedy at the end. He got a World Series ring with the Red Sox. There were some real, you know, tense moments with him on the bump for Boston, certainly in the playoffs and even in the World Series. But I'd still, yes, take him over having Vizcaino coming out of the pen right now.
Yeah.
Hey, man, our game winner is simple. Earlier today, Randy and I, we had a heartfelt conversation. A lot of people enjoyed it. About how, you know, it's different these days. We're not trying to make it about younger generation, because there's always been wimps and wussies and guys that are soft. But your coach tries to bring the best out of you. Who was your favorite coach, Randy? Whether it's your high school coach, you can name your favorite coach from like when you were a kid. Maybe your dad was your coach. A real coach today in pro or college sports. Or maybe even a fictitious coach from a TV movie.
Coach Boone. Coach Boone.
Who's your coach? Maybe it's Coach the Bartender from Cheers. Either way, 404-741-0929. It's about the fundamentals. We've been talking a lot about coaches today. Builders of men and women. And talking about like Izzo and how people, well, some people, just the worthless people in the world, were losing their minds that he was yelling and pointing a finger at a player. And
no, we can't do that.
And Randy and I, let me tell you something, kids. We got tough love and it turned out pretty good. Randy made millions of dollars in the NFL, and I'm stealing money, getting paid to talk nonsense. And we had coaches who kicked our butts.
You sort of got to have a lucky with you. You say that.
Do you realize that Coach Natofsky once sent me across four lanes of traffic in my pads to get him a pack of Marlboros? And if they did that today, they'd take his certification away. He'd never be able to coach again.
They put him in jail.
Right. So your favorite coach, whether it's from your personal experience, or maybe it's a TV coach, or maybe it's a coach like, you know, if Alabama, obviously you love Nick Saban. By the way, speaking of coaching, Dana Altman, pretty good coach for Oregon. He knows what it's like to take teams to the big game. He went to a bigger lineup, and they've been on this crazy win streak. And Oregon, another major upset, Randy.
Got that one too, Mike.
Oh, look at you. As they've taken out Wisconsin, 12 beaten a 5. So a lot of these upsets, you know, a lot of the experts said, hey, this could be an upset. Well, they were right about that. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Great coaches. What do you got? You're on
got
the air.
Coach Norman Dale.
Norman Dale. Good job.
Which one was Norman Dale?
Norman Dale is the Hoosiers coach.
Hoosiers coach. Okay, Hackman. Yeah. Gene Hackman.
But,
yeah. Appreciate it, man.
I didn't need to see him making out with Barbara Hershey, but everything else was good.
Yeah. The clap.
Yeah.
The clap. I'm like, oh, God.
What was
in that little folder he had? Were those plays?
Yeah, it was plays
that he gave out to Shooter.
That's
remember
his
Shooter. Remember Shooter?
No, it was a flask that he gave to Shooter.
Remember Shooter?
We're gonna run in the picket fence.
Man, don't get caught watching the paint dry.
Hey, man, that's Hoosiers for you kids at home. You're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for your favorite coach?
Hey, man. I got from my high school, man. I got Coach Spinner and Coach Stockstill, and from college is the old ball coach Spurrier. Go Gators!
I hear you, man.
Pros, Jimmy Johnson, go Cowboys.
Yeah, buddy. Jimmy, man, 3 rings.
He's a Gator and a Cowboy guy?
Apparently so.
Make sure you write his number down. We don't need him around.
Well, I mean, I like
– he can't come back.
I'll never forget how we were all excited in South Florida when they finally – you know, Jimmy Johnson was bucking for Shula's job, and he was on NBC at the time, mm-hmm. and he kept saying how the Dolphins are overrated. I mean, they're underperforming, and they're not getting the job done. Had such high hopes, and Jimmy just, boy, he could draft defense. He could never get the offense right.
They could never get the offense right. They had Marino all those years.
But I'll never forgive Jimmy for leaving us with Dave Wanstead. That was brutal. Couldn't sell those tickets if I tried. You're on the radio, buddy boy. What do you got for your favorite coach?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, my 7th grade basketball coach, Coach Gary, he wasn't a big fan of bad shot selection.
Where was that? Where was the school?
He was elementary school here in Atlanta, Brookview Elementary School.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
If you shoot a bad shot a couple times in a row, he'd say, "Boy, if you shoot that ball again, I'm gonna ride you from here to Missouri."
But to Missouri?
See, it's funny for guys that missed the earlier part of the conversation. We're talking about the coaches that you really loved. And again, this could be for our female listeners, coaches you loved. It is you had the connection because, you know, like I told you about Coach Pete, when you really disappointed me, kid.
It just hurts you, man.
It hurts. You know, sometimes they're yellers or screamers. Sometimes they're huggers. You know what I mean? Some coaches, they get the most out of you, and you stay, and it sticks with your head the rest of your life, right?
Yeah, it does.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got?
What's happening, Chief?
Hey, Chief.
Hey, Chief, I was in the 10th grade. We were playing Southwest Macon High School. I was riding the bench playing basketball. Guy 6'9 on the other team. He's about 6'9, 250. I was like 6'1, 175. My coach looked me in my face and said, "Go stop him." I said, "How, coach?" He said, "Son, there's nothing to fear but fear itself."
So your coach called him FDR.
I went to Southwest Macon for a semester.
Yeah?
For one semester.
Were you the guy he had to stop?
No, I went 6'9. You
seemed that big.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, no, I went to Southwest Macon for like a semester, if I was there that long.
You should have given Chief an elbow. Show him what's what.
Yeah, it's pretty...
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for a coach, whether real or fake or in the sports world that like is coaching now that you love?
Yes. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I've only had the one coach playing the foosball, and I have to say Mr. Coach Klein was my favorite coach.
That's pretty good right there.
Bobby
That's
Boucher.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
You ain't playing that foosball. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Oh, he hung up. Doink. That was bad coaching. You're on the radio, buddy. What do you got?
Very simply, butter maker.
I love the original with Walter Matthau.
There's nothing better.
You know, with
than
the Bad
that.
News Bears. Buttermaker.
Buttermaker!
You know, love that. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Your favorite coach.
Hey, man.
Hey man.
Hey, Coach Williams, he used to start the bench to make the starters work harder from behind when he would put us in the game. If you took one bad shot, he'd throw down his wad of paper he had in his hand and put your butt at the end of the bench.
What school was this? Where are you at? He hung up. I guess Coach Williams had it out last
night. All right, Coach Williams, who just started the bench.
Now, the thing is, Coach Williams, people don't realize he went 1-37 in his 3 years of coaching high school with his patented Let's start the bench.
Really?
I'm sure that was a good motivation. I turned that into making fun of Coach Williams. Apologize, Coach Williams. You're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us?
Start the bench. Are you serious?
Let me see. I'm going with the Rebel Rouser himself, Jerry the Shark Tarkanian.
Yes.
Urban legend has it.
kept his towel soaked in a little joy juice before pregame and once told the NCAA, I don't care what you know, what can you prove? And I'm going to show you. I'm going to leave, UNLV, go to first place, turn into a powerhouse. And so what if I got ties to Underworld Mob?
Hey, I've never heard the thing about the towel.
I don't know. If you tell me the towel was like soaked in vodka?
I've never heard that before. But
I'm gonna call shenanigans on that. Hey, man, whether it's a coach you had or a movie coach, sports coach, what you got?
I got any coach that coached against Randy McMichael because he's a Gator hater.
He's a dog for life, Joe. All right. We got what do we got next? What's coming up?
Westwood One action, March Madness.
All right, you're going to hear March Madness action right here on your radio. I should know this. Again, Randy, I got to read the memos.
Yes, you need to read that, Mike. Come on, man.
We'll clear our throats, we'll get the heck out of Dodge, and then you'll hear some March Madness right here on the game.
Show. So it's time for Let Me Clear My Throat.
Fun show today, a lot of stuff going on. A few more upsets out there as Oregon takes out Wisconsin. It was funny, Randy and I, we were really, really, really rooting for Virginia to go down, make it two ones to a 16
really
in a row.
I really needed them to lose that game. But we do want to see the best team make it through and all that, blah, 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 whatever.
Hey, best of luck to Ron Hunter and the Georgia State Panthers, DeMarcus Simons and company. You'll hear that game, guys, on 1380 WAOK News and Talk. We are going to rotate around. It'll be one of the games they'll rotate to on 92.9 The Game as part of March Madness coverage right here on The Game. But if you want to hear it with our buddy Dave Cohen's call, that'll be on 1380 starting here in just a few minutes. Again, don't miss it, and best of luck to Ron and the guys. All right, let's go around the room and clear our throats. Start with Samwell Tarly.
All right, Randy brought this up earlier. Duke favored by 26 points tonight against North Dakota State. Don't do it. It's got backdoor cover written all over it. Wait until Sunday. See who they play between VCU, UCF. They will cover that spread. I guarantee it.
Gotcha.
It's a good call. Zion might get a rest or might not even play tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, Squid Billy, what you got?
Well, Skip Bayless, who probably watched J.A. Morant play one game, which was yesterday, decided to tweet about Morant and say he'd make a very good NBA point guard and leader. Rare basketball maturity. No flair. No me. No Trae Young. So, excuse me? So you're going to call out Trae Young? Well, let me tell you something, Skip Bayless. As one of the members of the Atlanta fan club of Trae Young, you called in the Thunder. Well, now you got it. All right? So don't you be talking trash about our guy. Because
first
we don't like that.
Skip Bayless has no idea.
Everybody gets so upset about it.
Unless the Dallas connection and maybe he's trying to pump up the Mavs. I don't know. Skip Bayless, look, he's laughing all the way to the bank.
That's all that matters, right?
He's an absolute clown.
He knows. Talk about LeBron, talk about the Cowboys, and I'll make all his money and make everybody mad.
Look,
who cares?
John Morant is doing an unbelievable job. It's amazing. It's kind of cool that he and we talked about it earlier. He and Zion were both on the same AAU team out of South Carolina. All right, Randy Mack, clear your throat.
I thought the trouble was over for my man, but Pac-Man, he's got to go to jail for 10 days, and he cannot have a drink for 18 months.
What happened? For the
trouble he got into up at the Rising Star
Casino
in Indiana. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, just hurts me to see that. So let's see. Thought he had his stuff together, Mike.
You got to keep that stuff dialed in.
Dog it. I hate to see it happen to him, man. He works so hard for it.
Hey, man, we were talking a lot about today with Julio's contract. Look, no one debates Julio deserves that money for sure. I'm just curious how it's all going to work out in the end. That's it. Because Matt, we knew, was going to get paid. We knew that Julio was going to get his bump and more money. You got to find a way to get Grady's deal done. You got to get Debo and Keanu Neal done.
Stop saying Keanu, all right?
Eventually they'll have to pay him too. You know how it gets easy? You find yourself a big stud offensive lineman that you'll have salary control over. That's one less thing you'll have to buy. One less thing you'll have to do. Randy says never going to happen because Dan Quinn's got to get the best troops on the field this
year.
There is no big picture. The time is now. All right, brother, we got to roll. You love the show?
Tell your friends.
If you don't.
Bracket.
Here goes Randy's bracket. Well, but you talk to somebody else, I'll tell you 8 inches is a big difference, Randy.
That's not that big a difference, I don't think.
It's not.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.